You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter Todd Zalecki. And Todd, Phillies have become what we thought they were, I think. It's getting tough, and these podcasts obviously have gotten to the point where we're going to try not to dwell too much on what's going on the field, but the Phillies last won a series, looking it up today, May 16th to the 18th, so basically a month ago. They did beat the Blue Jays on Monday night, but then they fall on Tuesday and also on Wednesday. One good takeaway, though, I guess, from Wednesday's game is that Cody Ashe had a nice night. 3-for-4, a homer, 2 doubles. He had been so cold coming in, and obviously he's been cold basically since he got healthy and back on this roster. How key is it for him to swing somewhat of a hot bat in this lineup?
For Cody Ashe personally, it's huge for him. You know, I had a real good talk with him in spring training and talking about his kind of where he stands in the organization. You know, a couple of years ago, they had real high hopes for him. They didn't think he was going to be a perennial all-star or anything like that, but they thought he would be a real solid contributor in this Phillies lineup, you know, kind of a piece of the puzzle going forward. And he really never took that next step forward, and he's kind of been the same type of player. So he entered this season knowing that he needed to play really well to be a part of this team's future, if not as an everyday player, an everyday outfielder, as maybe as like a key guy off the bench. He can certainly make a nice career doing that. So to come into last night's game, in the Wednesday night's game, hitting 200, really not doing much of anything, certainly did not bode well for him. But Wednesday night, he has the home run. He has a couple of doubles. Maybe this gets him started. And again, I don't think anybody at the Phillies right now is going, you know, we got to find out if Cody Ashe is our next everyday outfielder. They just want to know, you know, is he worth holding on to down the road? You know, is he worth keeping on this 25-man roster or 40-man roster? Is he worth, you know, maybe making him as a left fielder slash first baseman slash third baseman, kind of a super utility type of guy? And, you know, for his sake, I think he hopes that last Wednesday night was a step in the right direction.
You continue to get these little glimpses from this young rotation. And Monday night in Toronto, which is a tough place to pitch, not just the ballpark, but obviously the lineup as well. And Jared Eichhoff goes out 6 shutout innings. That's an impressive performance as a guy kind of continues to grow.
Yeah, you know, Jared Eichhoff, they love the guy. They really do. They don't know exactly how good he's going to be or what he's going to become, but they really are pulling for him hard. You know, they think he's got a lot of potential, and they certainly think he can be better than, you know, what he was billed as coming aboard from Texas last July, which was, you know, he could be a pretty solid number four, number five-ish type of starter. I think they're hoping that he could be a solid number three type of guy. You know, a workhorse, a bulldog. You know, the coaching staff fell in love with him last year. His teammates fell in love with him last year because he really attacked the strike zone. He didn't screw around on the mound. He got the ball. He threw it, and he's pitched with success. So very encouraging start for him. Like you said, I've covered many Phillies Blue Jays games over the last several years, and it does not matter who the pitcher is. It seems like the Phillies pitchers are getting hit and hit hard. I remember Cliff Lee a few years ago. He was cruising through six scoreless innings. He had a nice shutout streak going. Seventh inning, he got absolutely lit up, knocked out of the game, and the Phillies lost the game. So, you know, to pitch well, to pitch with success up there, I think is a heck of an accomplishment for Jared Eichhoff.
Now, on the other side of things, we saw the major league debut of Zach Eflin, and well, it didn't go the way you'd like, but sometimes major league debuts tend to kind of go that way. We've seen it with one of the best prospects in the game this year. Julio Urias really struggled in his first outing. But Zach Eflin had been pitching really well down Lehigh Valley, 5-2, the ERA under 3. He's super young, 22 years old. He was a first-round pick of the Padres back in 2012. Comes up, and he took it on the chin a little bit. 2 2/3 innings, 8 earned runs. I know he took it as best he could. He said he had to put it behind him. Is that a performance, though, that could stick with him a little bit?
Well, certainly they're hoping not. You know, and not that you can make this comparison, really, but right before the season started, he pitched in an exhibition game in Reading. And it was basically Phillies' kind of quote-unquote stars of tomorrow versus what it was expected to be the Phillies' opening day roster. And he got absolutely lit up there. And a lot of people asked that same question. They said, before. Do you think this could impact him negatively? Do you think he could let this carry with him? Like, oh my gosh, I just got crushed by a bunch of by the Phillies. But it didn't. He bounced back. He realized it was only one start, and he handled it quite well. So I think that's what the Phillies are hoping here too, is that he bounces back from this. I thought he had a great attitude about it. He said, "Listen, obviously I wish I could have pitched better, but I got to live out my dream of pitching in the major leagues. It was a good experience in the sense that I'm up here. I got a taste of it, and now he's kind of hoping to take that next step forward and brush it off. But like I just mentioned about Jared Eichhoff, and it is so tough to pitch up there. And to be honest, Tim, I said last week when Vince Velasquez got hurt, I said, oh, man, are they going to have Eflin make his big league debut in Toronto? That is a really, really tough pull in terms of major league debuts. But he did. He got knocked around, and certainly he's going to get a few more starts to prove that he can put it past them.
Yeah, you mentioned the reason he's up, and that's Velasquez being injured. Franco also injured. Any updates on those guys? What's the timetable as far as Velasquez and Franco?
Well, Velasquez, they are absolutely not going to rush, which makes I am in total agreement with. There's no reason to rush him. You see the Phillies coming back to earth record-wise. He's a huge part of this team's future. He's got an injury history. There's durability concerns about him. It's a bicep injury. They don't think it's serious, but really, why rush him back right now? The team is not going to be a postseason team. Take him along slowly, bring him along real slowly, and then when he's really truly ready, put him back in the rotation. But they were going to watch his innings count this season anyway, because he had never pitched more than 124 innings in a season. So they're not going to rush him back. Michael Franco is expected to be back in the lineup Thursday night. He sprained his knee Sunday in D.C. He has not started since. He pinch hit on Wednesday night, struck out on three pitches. But they're hoping that he can kind of pick up where he left off. He had not actually hit the ball that well the first 2 months of the season. He'd been pretty ordinary, quite frankly. And then in June, he had started heat up. He's hit about 270 this month with, I think, three or four home runs, an OPS of about 830, 840. Those are good numbers for him, and that's what they need for him. So they're hoping, I guess, that he didn't start to heat up, tweak his knee, and then he's got to start from scratch.
Leading up to last week, we focused on this podcast a lot on the draft. And in the end, after all the talk and all the different options, they end up going with Mickey Moniak, which I think was the right call, and I think most people do. I feel like the Philly fan base was pretty happy with the pick, but you go with the high school outfielder who not just has the high ceiling, the potential to be an all-star type player, but according to most people, also a high floor and a guy that's a less likely to miss type player. He graduated this week from high school, wore a Phillies cap, so that's going to keep people happy. But by doing that, they did what we thought they might do also, Todd, and that was they saved some money on that top pick and allows you to spread it around a little bit. And they did that throughout. They took some different guys that it'll be interesting to see if they can get them signed. But one that stood out to me was Cole Stobie in the third round, a guy that was a first-round talent. He falls back. And they were able to do that and maybe bring more talent into the system than if they had just gone out and taken the guy who's going to take the huge bonus at number one.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the plan all along. I think all their top three picks are all high school players, all guys with college commitments. Moniak to UCLA, Kevin Gowdy to UCLA, the right-hander, and then you mentioned Cole Stobie to Arkansas. The Phillies, I would be absolutely stunned that they don't sign all three of these guys. And in fact, I would expect it to happen sometime, maybe next week when we're talking. They might have already made announcements, all three under contract and are already in the Gulf Coast League playing for the Phillies. They're going to save a lot of money on Moniak with the first round pick. They could spend up to $9 million as the slot value for that spot. I would expect it to be well under that. They're going to spend more on Gowdy in the second round, and obviously they're probably going to spend a little bit more on Stobie in the third round. But they're really optimistic about signing those three guys. They drafted some other high schoolers in the later rounds, some JUCO guys in the later rounds, and in talking to people with the Phillies, we'll see what happens, but after the draft, they were all very confident that they would be able to sign most of everybody that they wanted to bring in. And if that is the case, the Phillies, at least, their scouts feel that they got two first-round talents in Moniak and Gowdy, and Sobey, they look at as almost like a compensatory kind of sandwich pick between the first and second round. So they are really, really high on these three guys. Who knows how it's going to turn out? Baseball drafts are so hard to figure out. But certainly on paper, with the money that they're spending and who they got, they couldn't be happier.
Yeah, and even in the 11th round, they got Josh Steven, who's a guy that, that most people thought should have gone on day one. So tremendous work by the Phillies. And for what it's worth, Jim Callis ranked them as having the number one draft. Obviously, it helps to have the number one pick in those rankings. But he loved what the Phillies did throughout. So great stuff. All right, that's going to do it for this. That's going to do it for MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. Along with Todd Zielecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.